Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I got a list of things here.
the big thing that's always going on. Let me just make sure I stay in my on my switchboard in case somebody gives me a call. But one of the big things that everybody always wants to know about these days is the unemployment rate. The unemployment rate's a real interesting thing. People are losing jobs. I'm not really sure that it's economic as much as, well, I mean that, you know, jobs are being outsourced and all that other kind of stuff. Lots of those jobs are being sent overseas, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. But one of the other problems is, we don't do those things anymore. We don't need people to do those things anymore. And so those jobs are being eliminated. And the new jobs, gosh, you know, you hear that statistic all the time. This year's freshmen in college, the jobs they're going to get, if they get any when they graduate, haven't even been invented yet. That's a real scary thing. The services, I guess, that we're going to provide to people haven't really been invented yet. But I think about it, and it really comes down to something very simple. People need to eat. People need a place to sleep. And people need to make more people. Those three things are what it comes down to. And how we go about doing that. Yeah, I guess it gets pretty complicated. And the society's really complicated and all that good stuff. But the fact is, we eat, we sleep, we procreate. And that is at the bottom of everything. But one of the problems, you know, everybody wants to, you know, let's send more kids to college. Hell, half our kids are, especially in the cities, half the kids aren't even graduating from high school. And we want to talk about college. But let's talk about college. When I went to college, and yeah, I guess it was that long ago, 38 years, 1972, be 39 years in June of 2011. God, that's a long time, isn't it? Hey, I got a caller coming in here. Hold on. Go ahead. You're on the air with Norm.
Norm at night freaking rules.
Norm at night, he stayed awake this time. He stayed awake. So what can I do for you, caller?
So what's going on? What are you guys talking about, Norm?
Well, so right now we're talking about how half America doesn't even graduate from high school anymore, and people are talking about getting more people to go to college.
Right. So continue, please, sir.
Hey, I recognize that laugh. I recognize that laugh. I thought this couple was a little familiar. I'll just call you the Ayatollah.
That is messed up, Norman Knight. That is messed up. And now, am I the only caller here, Norm?
You're the only guy I've got on the line now. Yeah, I take that back.
Okay, good. Thank you.
So anyway, I was just reminiscing with the with the listeners. You know, we're just about to touch 20,000. And but anyway, I was talking about, you know, Norm at night. Come this June, it'll be 39 years since I graduated from college. And everybody's talking about, you know, how much it costs to go to college and all that other kind of good stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, it cost Norman Knight tuition $800 for 4 years.
Really?
The State University of New York.
Wow.
College in Buffalo, absolutely. The tuition was $400 a semester. And Norman Knight had some Regents money come his way. And so it was $200 a year total for the big fella. That wasn't counting books or any of that other good stuff. And, you know, Norman Knight never had a problem sleeping somewhere for free, so he stayed right at home. And, $800. And then graduate school, of course, I was a supporting graduate student. And all these people, they come out with these loans, and nobody can get a job. Because there are no jobs. Colleges, if you're going to college to get a job, you deserve it. Norman Knight went to college to expand his universe. And that's exactly what he did.
But I don't know if that's the case for all, Norm, where
Well, it should be. You know, you go to college, you learn how to be an actor. You go to college, you learn how to be a philosopher. You learn how to think about something. Now they even got high schools that pretend to do that stuff.
Well, I think college can be a place where it can expose you to certain things, but I don't know.
You got to speak into your phone because I can hardly hear you.
I said college. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Now it's perfect.
Okay. College is a place where it can expose you to certain things, but I think because of the time constraints involved, I don't think there's much room for expansion in college. I think that takes place after college. Now, there are some who say, well, I've done my 4 to 5 years of college. I have my degree, and I'm going to go into the workforce. And that expansion, as I'm understanding it from you, I don't know if that inquisitive, that intellectual type of expansion goes on for most. I think maybe it's either grad school or it's how do I get a job and get into the workforce and get my, you know, biweekly paycheck or monthly paycheck, and that's all she wrote. I don't know if there's much room for, now, of course, you know, I'm making a blanket statement here. I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, do you agree with that or no?
No, I don't agree with that at all. See, the world is way different now. When I went to college so blessed long ago, that it was the only way to expand your world. And you encountered ideas, and you wanted to take over the world. You wanted to own the world. And I guess I radicalized a little bit. I don't know. I'm just a big radish. That's what I must be. But I always wanted to learn things. And now there's so many ways to learn things that, I'm getting off into another topic here, but it's really hard. Hey, everybody out there, why don't you join in? 347-945-6713 is the number. We got a guy on the line here. My crystal ball says it's coming from somewhere around Charlottesville. Charlotte, North Carolina, I think.
That's
correct.
David said to be exact.
My music's coming through. Let me go back deeper into my crystal ball. I think we got a first-time caller here. Often wanted to, but never remembered. Now he's here. You know, actually... you know what? Norm's been accused of being a PS. A fan student.
A what? Student? A what?
a pan student.
Got it. Hey, very nice.
Anywhere with anyone.
Beautiful.
Mental intercourse.
Well, you know, you seem to be a guru of education. What do you think the state of education? I mean, if...
Now you're trying to bait me here. I am not a guru of education. I am a guru of learning. Let's get that straight. Education is like the Catholic Church. I'm like the Catholic faith. It's about faith, not about organized stuff.
What do you mean by that?
What do I mean by that?
What do you mean by that? That's very abstract what you just said. Can you be a little bit more precise?
I will try to be a little bit more precise, but that's a hard thing for Norm. He sometimes babbles like a brook. Other times he roars like a river. I don't know what I'm doing. I might be brook babbling.
Got it.
But education is organization, it's credentials, it's buildings and people, and you got to pick the best and throw away the bad. It's like taking the seeds and the skins out of tomatoes to make tomato sauce. Yeah, it's still a tomato, but it's not the whole thing. Yeah, Norm's got a problem. He connects things to food a lot.
I know, I've noticed.
Well, that's because there's almost 300 pounds of them. But, you know, we're going to do something about that.
I'm
like a Buddha.
There you go. So you're like the Buddha.
I'm like the Buddha, but...
Enlighten us, Buddha.
I got this whole list of things here that I was going to talk about tonight. I think this is on the list. Good technology, the Young Turks, bank failures, Social Security reform. They reformed Social Security now. It's going to be a revolution, I'll tell you that. Because Norm is getting close. Hey, do you know, actually, this really struck me. There's 40 million Americans on food stamps.
40 million. Wow.
You know, and then we go and give the top 2% a $700 billion handout. Let's see here. Fund colleges to reduce tuition. Yeah, that's it. Rather than give tax breaks. Because you know what? I want to talk about this because, you know, everybody says we're going to get tax breaks so you can help your kids afford college. You know what? Poor people, the tax break won't make any difference to them because they don't pay any taxes because they're so poor. So the tax break doesn't help them go to college. But anyway, oh, God, it's so much fun having somebody. Let me go see if there's anybody in the chat room. You stay right here, 215. I'll be right back.
Sure thing.
So how did Christmas treat you?
Christmas was nice. I was a little sick. I think there's, you know, kind of flu that's been going around, but I'm getting better. How about you, Norm? How was your Christmas?
Hey, it was really good. It was really good. You know, we had I got some great presents. You know, nothing super. Hey, Colt, you're in the chat room. Why don't you join us live? But you can stay in the chat room if you want. But anyway, I got this. It's just. I don't know if you know. Well, how would you know? But you might know. I don't know. Norm loves birds. I like birds.
You like birds?
My wife dragged me bird watching. I think we've been married for, we got married in August, January. She drags me off bird watching, and I fall in love with watching birds. It's really pretty cool. Well, anyway, and so ever since then, I've always had bird feeders.
Okay.
I have bird feeders all over my yard, and so I would go out into the yard, and I'd set a video camera up on a tripod and let it run for 2 hours, you know, and then go through it, taking away, well, there might be actually 20 minutes of birds at the feeders in the whole 2 hours and editing the whole thing. Well, I got a bird cam for Christmas. And the bird cam, the Audubon Society puts it out. And the bird cam, it's this little camera. It's just cameras for everything now. God, they can look up your butt. They can do anything they want with a camera. But anyway, sure enough, this bird cam, it attaches to this pole, and you, like, attach it to the tree or on its own standalone post aimed at your bird feeder. And it's motion sensitive. So the only time it runs, it's on batteries, of course, the only time it runs is when something moves at the feet, you know, when a bird lands on the feeder. And so I'm real excited about bird cams. Hello, you still with me? Still with me, 215?
Yeah, I got you. I'm on my cell phone. The reception is spotty, but I got that whole... It seems
Hey, anybody out there, if you're listening, you know, you got to go. You can always go over to my blog, patty2.blogspot.com, and the whole last show is there in the archive, or you can go to blogtalkradio.com/NormAtNight, and the whole archive of every show is there, and it helps push up the listener numbers, and Norm really likes that, so push those listeners. I'm thinking about retiring when I go over 20,000, which actually brings me to another thing.
What's that?
I got the work from Blog Talk. It's either become a paying member of Blog Talk Radio. I think I'm one of the last of the freebies. And,
you are.
Or get out of prime time.
Oh, boy.
And I guess during the month of January, February 1st, I got to make the decision by. I can't schedule any more primetime shows at 7 o'clock to 11 o'clock. I've been thinking about trying Norm in the evening, maybe, 6 p.m.
Yeah.
That way, I can always there's this place I like in the neighborhood, Molly's, or maybe another place I've been known to frequent called the Blackthorn. And if things get a little, give me some barmaid's names. Maybe I can think of the barmaid's name behind the bar at the Blackthorn. She's straight from Ireland. Her father was a lighthouse keeper. He comes into the bar and sits there, he tells some great stories. Or, you can always go to the Zoo Bar down in Washington, D.C.
There you go. Zoo Bar, baby.
I was thinking about going to the Zoo Barn for New Year's Eve.
That sounds like a good time.
It might be, but I thought it was a little expensive. And plus my wife, last New Year's Eve, we went out to the movies, and it was really a lot of fun. So I think we're going to do that again.
Oh, okay.
If you're looking to see Norm live, rumor has it Saturday night out in the Northern Virginia area.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Or, if you happen to be in the Washington, D.C. area, he's thinking about going to the Blues Jam at the Zoo Bar on Thursday night.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. So,
I don't know. Sweet Charlotte will still be playing her tunes by then. I don't know.
What do you think about, let's get back to the topic of education.
All right. Education. Let's get back to it. If you want to talk to Norm about education, three people you got to do. You got to know, because this is where Norm comes from. Paulo Freire, Pedagogy of the Oppressed, Ivan Illich, De-schooling Society, and John Dewey, Democracy in Education.
So if you can distill what all these, people who, now who are these people?
Well, Paulo, I always call him Pablo, his name is Paulo, Paul.
Okay.
Paulo Freire was dead now, they're all dead now. Paulo Freire was a Brazilian, probably a leftist, but he believed that people are oppressed and you have to liberate people from their oppression. And the way you do that, the very absolute thing that you have to do is teach people to read.
Teach people how to read.
Teach people to read. That allows them to unlock the code. And if you teach people to read, then they're able to partake in their own liberation.
Mm-hmm.
Once you teach somebody how to decode the alphabet, then even books become a time machine. They can take you anywhere. He was pre-internet, of course. Actually, the Cubans, he was thrown out of Brazil eventually, driven out because he was pretty radical. Pedagogy of the Oppressed. I mean, he generally thought that the problem with school, not with learning, with school was that most school operates by the bank account theory.
Mm-hmm.
That you just pour information into the bank account and then when you need it, you withdraw it. Nobody thinks about anything. It's almost propaganda. And school is a very interesting thing because school is it's where a society transmits its values. And that's one of the real dangers of school.
Mm.
Because it literally becomes a preservation of the status quo.
Mm. Mm.
But anyway... And so, Cuba's the only country in the world that has 100% literacy rate.
Cuba.
Cuba. That's why they, I'd like to go to Cuba someday.
I know, that's one country I'd like to visit as well. It seems fascinating. But I guess this is...
Just an amazing story. 50 years since the revolution, 51 actually, 1959, the old boy's still alive, or so they say. But anyway, but that's Paulo Freire. Now, Ivan Illich is a really interesting guy, very, very radical. Ivan Illich, first of all, he was a Jesuit priest. And, you know, he got a PhD in history. Jesuits usually get some kind of academic advanced degree besides their theological studies. It takes to you about 35 to become one. Why they don't have any more, actually about 30. I think it's 13 years post high school to be ordained a Jesuit. But that includes 3 years of teaching. But anyway, Ivan Illich was a Czech, a Bohemian, and he became a Jesuit priest. He came to America. One of my favorite Ivan Illich stories, I think that it explains a lot about what he does as a, as far as his ideas towards education. He was in New York, and, I can't remember the archbishop's name in New York, but he was a really conservative guy. And this is when the Puerto Rican emigration started pouring into New York City, and the bishop, Cardinal Spellman, yes, that's who, Cardinal Spellman, he was a very conservative Catholic, and but he wanted his priests to be able to speak to these new influx of immigrants, and so he wanted them to learn how to speak Spanish. And they just weren't doing it. So Ivan Illich, he says, well, that's because you're doing it wrong. You're trying to do it in school. You're sending them to Spanish class. And so the cardinal said to Illich, well, how would you do it? And he said, if you give me a free hand in 6 months, the priest will be fluent. And so the cardinal said, well, go right ahead. So Illich put a ad in the paper. If you speak Spanish, show up at the chancery in the morning for a job. You just have to be able to speak Spanish. And there was a line going around the chancery, and he got two or three people and assigned them to every priest in the archdiocese. And they were only to speak Spanish to this priest. And in 6 months, the priests were all fluent.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, but that's Illich's idea. Everybody knows something. And everybody else wants to know something. So if you want to know something, find somebody who knows it and just interact with them, and you will learn it. You want to be a doctor? Go work with a doctor. You want to be a lawyer? Go work with a lawyer. You want to be an electrician? Go work with an electrician. And that's how we used to do things. But we don't anymore. It became formal. It became school. And Eric says that school is a selection process.
Mm-hmm.
They keep throwing people away. So you get just a few people to buy in. And then they become a member of the club. But most people are thrown away in school. You know,
is that what college is then, an exclusive club?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, well, I mean, keep in mind, let's just talk about America. 40% of our youth are not graduating from high school.
Mm-hmm.
Are not graduating from high school.
So okay, let me ask you something. Let me interject really quick. When you throw out a figure like that, what are you saying? What's the bigger picture?
We're talking about college? Stop a minute. 40% of the kids don't even graduate from high school. Something's wrong.
When you say something's wrong, what's wrong? Well, I mean, or is it too big of a problem that you can't?
School's not working.
Could it be other things? Could it be other issues? Could it be environment? Could it be family structure? Could it be lack of parental,
It could be all of those things. It could be taking a group of people and making them slaves for 400 years. Yes, all that stuff. Was it 400? No. 1640 to 18. No, 200, sorry. And then treating them like scum for 100 more. Yeah, that could all be part of it. But then in the family structure thing, that's interesting. My grandfather couldn't speak English when he got off a boat in Montreal. Ran out of money in Buffalo. Stayed there, got married. All of his children and their children are college graduates or in the process of becoming college graduates.
So you initially said 40% of kids are not graduating high school.
That's verifiable from the statistical abstract of the United States. I'm not making that up.
No, I know, but then after you said that, you said something is wrong with the school. Something is wrong with the system, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I saw somewhere, I think it was a Newsweek article, and it was a cover story from about a week or 2 weeks ago, basically, you know, talking about the same thing, about there has to be a complete overhaul of the educational system, or, you know, like almost like it's as if the educational system in the United States needs a catharsis of some sort, like a purging. In order to...
What an enema!
What?
It needs an enema!
I'm talking. It needs an enema. Like, okay.
Yeah,
so,
it needs to be flushed.
It needs to be
first
crushed. Oh, flush. Flush. Got it.
First thing, well, let me just finish for a minute. 40%. You could just take 40% and throw them away. Right?
Yes.
Now, out of the 60% that are left, about 40% of them are going to try to go on to college, which is about 20% of the whole number. Half of those aren't going to finish. This is all statistically verifiable.
Mm-hmm.
So now what do all those other people do? They can't all play basketball. They can't all play football. What do? How do they eat?
Mm-hmm.
How do they find a place to sleep? How do they find a place to make more people? You know, I don't need... it's not about an extraordinary life. It's about life.
Mm-hmm.
How do you live? And to say, well, it's not my problem, is to ignore the whole thing. It's to ignore what's going on around you. You're going to just have to keep building walled communities. Eventually, the walls aren't going to protect you anymore. And the whole thing's going to come tumbling down.
I know, but I think if you were to say, I mean, to play the devil's advocate, when someone says it's not my problem, could it be also other than just, I don't know, indifference? You know, other than indifference or, hey, I'm looking after my own, or could it be sometimes these issues are so overwhelming just by the sheer numbers and everything that's involved? And there's just so, it's really, it's not, we can't come at it in a place where it's a black and white issue, but I think there's a lot of gray matter involved, a lot of gray area. And I think because of that gray, can I finish with?
Oh, I'm, hey, oh, gee, it's the Norm Show, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's, oh my God.
Boom, 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 open up.
So anyway,
no, I'm sorry, I cut you off.
Could it be that it's just an overwhelming issue, and this is something that might take years in order for it to? I mean, it's not. There's no quick fix here. You're talking about an educational system that is really rotten at its core. It's decaying. The old systems, whatever they are and whatever they have been, are just not, I agree with you, they're not working, they're not effective anymore. They don't translate to the modern world and to the modern human being and to the modern student. I think a large part of that also is, I mean, you're looking at, it's a cultural issue too. Scientists are not the ones, and philosophers and great writers and great orators are not the ones who are celebrated any longer. An 18-year-old who signs a contract with the NBA for millions of dollars is. Oprah Winfrey is. You know, the latest teen idol on YouTube is. That maybe that's where, you know, if you were to look at the heart of the issue is, I don't know who the great physicists are of today. I don't know who the great scientists are, those people who are making these monumental discoveries, because it's not celebrated. It's not important enough. I mean,
it's worse than that. Just think about a high school environment.
Okay.
When's the last time you saw the best student in physics celebrated for setting a record for points scored?
Right.
When's the last time? Well, anyway, you get the drift. I don't want to go any faster.
Right.
I'm on
the record
here, so I got to be careful. But part of the problem is, I don't even think people understand. For instance, the place where I teach, everybody goes to college.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
They have no clue or conception of a world where everybody doesn't do that. They have no idea of their own exception. I don't even know how I want to say it. No idea of their own, how different they are. Oh, God, I'm failing. I'm going to have to go take some kind of writing class, you know, maybe an essay class. Yeah, so somebody can have me write 300-500-word essays and grade them all semester. I'm sorry. It's all in the timing. My timing's a little off tonight. I just feel like a Dunkin' Donut. Anyway, but what I want, and so I'm teaching a group of these people.
Mm-hmm.
They're stunned. Nobody would believe me that world existed. And you know what? Until the liberation of the internet, it would have stayed there. But we were able to find out all of this stuff, you know, I mean, and verify it. That's what I mean by school is still closed. And it still tries to maintain its monopoly or priesthood, its control of information.
Mm.
It's not like that anymore. The world has become open, and it will never be closed up again. Oh, it's going to try to be, and it may take some steps backwards.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish I wasn't 60 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I'd had my, although the next 20 years or so are going to be humdingers, I promise you that. But it's, you know, it's hard to say, especially, hey, once the mood loses 40, 55.
Hi, Norm.
Hey, how are you?
That was a fan of yours, Norm.
I understand. The mood likes fans, but let's keep any names and stuff here. Norm at Night, everybody knows about. It's just other things.
No, what you're saying is so true. I mean, it's so insightful, and I agree to a large extent. You know, like you mentioned before, you said something about the status quo, but, you know, I think desperately people are trying to maintain the sense of the status quo when maybe we don't know what the status quo is anymore, Norm. Maybe that's the issue.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I guess that in some ways that's the catch-22 of it all, where I think we're living in a world where education, I mean, if you were to look at it under a microscope.
I got another caller coming in. Hold on.
Okay.
Go ahead. You're on with Norm and his friend from Charlotte.
Hey, Norm, it's Carl.
Hey, it's the Colt. How are you doing?
Oh, not bad.
It's
halftime, so I thought I'd give you a call.
What's the score?
What's that?
What's the score?
Oh, 7-7.
Oh,
yeah,
so Minnesota's not playing.
Yeah, Minnesota's D is pretty good so far. So,
anyway,
your other.
I heard all those wusses from Pennsylvania, you know, can't go in the game on Sunday night.
Yeah, I know. Well, they were worried about traffic. They thought everyone would get there, and then they'd be stuck, and they'd have, you know, 70,000 people stuck in a stadium, and they wouldn't know what to do with them. But
didn't stop them in Green Bay. Never stopped them in Buffalo.
Yeah, true enough. So your other guest was on a point, and I think I interrupted. So
that's all right. Sorry. Yes, go ahead, guest.
No, I mean, I can't even remember what I was saying. I guess we were talking about the sense of the status quo. That's right. We're talking about looking at education under a microscope. But then if you were to look at all the other issues and topics, I think sometimes it could be pretty overwhelming. And I think that's what it comes back to, is a sense of people just maintaining you know, the fragility of the walls crumbling down around them is because it just, I think everybody is overwhelmed by, I think, in the internet, and that's part and parcel of the internet and the damage the internet has done is, oh my God, we are not so, I mean, this is a large world, and there are so many complexities to it, and there's so many things going on. There's so many issues that we have to face that I think people become much more insular, isolated, and not as, I mean, those movements that you were probably, you know, if you were to go back to the 60s, Norm, and you were part of that, that whole energy, the energy of something like that. I mean, how is that, you know, something sparked, man? I mean, what was it? Was it because of the war? I'm sure the war had something to do with it. I mean, what's different now from the war today and the wars that we've been involved
well,
with?
That's a real interesting thing. There's a big difference now. Now, it's essentially poor people dying.
Oh, you want to make it a class thing, huh?
It is a class thing.
Well, it's true in this respect.
I mean, Vietnam is college kids were dying.
Vietnam, we had a draft, exactly. And now you have a professional army.
We still should have one. In fact, hold on here. Wait, I wrote something down about this.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what? No. Stop the war. It's undeclared. It's illegal. We cannot afford it. And most of all, it is a horrible, regressive tax on the poor.
A tax
say
on
that.
The
poor? Mm. Say that last part again, Norm.
It's a tax on the poor.
Mm.
Well, here's how I look at the army. It is one of the very few economic opportunities they have.
Exactly.
You want to get out of the ghetto? You want to get out of the ghetto, or you want to get out of a poor rural environment? That's how you get out.
If you don't,
and that's been true, and that's been true for decades.
Not how you get out. That's the only way you can get out.
It's one way, and it's actually the easiest way.
It's not. Yeah, and you end up dead.
Actually, no. Very small percentage of people enlisted in the military end up dead. It's very small.
There's hundreds.
Excuse me?
There's thousands dead or maimed for life.
Right, thousands out of millions. I mean, I'm just giving you numbers. I'm not making any moral judgment here. I'm just saying.
Oh, I am making
this
a moral
judgment. This is how
it is. I am making a moral judgment. If everybody's not paying the price, nobody should pay the price.
Well,
There's nothing worse than a mercenary army.
Right. Well, these aren't mercenaries. They're our own citizens.
Yes, they are. They're mercenaries. They're nothing but mercenaries.
Well,
if it was this true service army, they wouldn't be paying anybody.
Yeah. Well, if you liberals would support a small government, we wouldn't have the money to finance these big wars. Big government is war.
Oh, my gosh. I'm having trouble breathing.
You can't have disasters like genocide and Holocaust and nuclear weapons without a big, rich government. And as soon as you guys get to understand that small governments can't do those things.
And you know what?
You know what I'm saying?
You really got Norm flaming tonight.
I know.
These guys say,
keeping you awake.
We got to stop talking about it's not class warfare. Well, guess what? It is. Oh, my God. My computer's saying shock sensibility inactive. Because I found it on my desk. Oh, my God. I got this new computer. It's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking about getting another one.
Hey, do you know what? Well, just some little things, because I only got a few minutes left here. Bank failures are surging to their highest level in 3 decades.
Oh,
yeah,
Did you read that article in the Wall Street Journal this morning?
Yes.
Ah.
The other thing I wanted to, I have a lot to do with technology, and if anybody wonders, like, a vision for technology at the place that I work, I would like it to do these 9 things, and then I would be happy. Number one, good technology is always available. Good technology is always on. Good technology is always connected. Good technology is standardized. Good technology is simple. Good technology doesn't require many parts. Good technology is personalized. Number 8, good technology is modular. And finally, good technology does what you want it to. And you know what the perfect piece of technology is that meets all of those things?
I'm thinking my gratification, but,
I'm thinking the cell phone, and they won't let people use them in schools. The cell phone does all of those things. Here's another example of technology.
Let me ask you something, Norm. When you say they're not letting them use them at school, you mean when a teacher is saying something in front of the class, like maybe a lecture, and someone were to get out, a student were to get out a phone and start making a call? Is that what you're saying?
Or maybe
getting on the
cell phone during a test and getting all the answers from somebody else.
You know what? The student's not allowed to, take out the phone and make a call while the teacher's giving a lecture that nobody listens to anyway. But the teacher is not engaging the class with those devices.
Okay. So this kid could be sitting out in the parking lot listening to the lecture on the phone. See,
if he wanted to be,
All right. So it's modular.
Communing with nature as he listens to some kind of a lecture on Thoreau's Walden.
Mm-hmm.
Who's overrated, by the way?
Wow.
Don't get me started on Thoreau's Walden now.
Why?
He was
overrated.
He was big in the 60s. He was America's power child.
He was overrated. Do you know that I... hello?
I'm here, Norm.
We're here.
Oh, okay. When I was a graduate student, I wrote a paper about how Thoreau was a fake and a figure. I didn't know the first thing about transcendentalism, and that the real father of American transcendentalism was a guy named George Bancroft. How could Thoreau know anything about transcendentalism, really? He didn't even speak German.
What?
Thoreau did not speak German.
How did you make that connection?
Was invented by the Germans.
Don't bring Hegel into this, please.
Hegel.
Please.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, didn't
the Germans invented transcendentalism? George Bancroft went to Germany to study, to get his PhD.
You know who was a great transcendentalist? Mr. Whitman, right? Walt.
Sort of. The Whitman brand of it. But the guy who brought it here wasn't Thoreau. He was a pencil maker, for God's sakes. It was Bancroft. Needless to say, my paper was panned.
Oh.
But I'm still right. But anyway, God, am I fat, though? Anyway, hey, we're past 10 o'clock, but, you know, we can still go for a little while here because it'll all go into the archive. So keep in mind, it's still being recorded.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, well, I just wanted everybody to know that. I'm trying to look for...
Norm, excuse me for a second. You mentioned you gave us 9 bullet points in terms of what technology should do, and one of the middle bullet points was technology should be simple. I would think that a lot of people would be very, let me just say, they would have issues with that. Statement. Whereas I think technology is anything but simple. It's caused much more. I think in some ways,
people don't want it to be simple.
Well, some do and some don't. Let's say when you put your photos online, you like software that can touch them up automatically. Whereas I don't.
I do
everything myself, and I'm very precise and very very picky about what I do. And the simple software does not work for me. It doesn't come to my level, so.
You picky guys, I don't know.
Yeah, so,
but
you know.
GIMP works absolutely as well. Is that anything you do with Photoshop?
I've worked with Photoshop from the very first, 1.0.
I understand.
And, there's an awful... I mean, granted, there are all these filters that people can use, and that's nice. You press a button and whatever. But really, photo editing where... using the dodging tools and creating, I turn them into like little paintings when I'm done. So, that's how I am with it. If I see the reflection of my camera in your eyeball, I take it out.
Okay.
Do you see where I'm going with that?
I'm sorry. You can do all that with Google.
No, you can't. It doesn't do that. Come on.
Oh, please.
I've got Picasa here, and it's really basic, very basic.
People pull up their butts.
What do you mean you could do it with Google? How can you do that with Google?
Are you talking about Picasa?
I'm talking about with the new photo editing software that they just added to it.
Oh, okay. Well, Picasa has been around a while. I've got it just as a viewer. That's all I use it for.
Right. Well, they keep making it better every day.
But it doesn't do that type of editing. It isn't that sophisticated. It wouldn't be able to determine what things are in a photo. And maybe at some time we'll get there, but,
I don't know.
But right now it's up to the artist, the photographer, to do the work.
Maybe.
And being the artist and photographer, I like to do my own work.
There you go. There you go.
Give me the tools, but let me do the work.
The tools are out there, and they're free.
Yeah, well, that's good. I mean, I can, I mean, granted, I can buy them, you know, Adobe software is still the, you know, the the world standard for photo editing. But,
not anymore.
Oh, come on. Adobe's Creative Suite is it's widely used. Probably every, I think probably every newspaper uses it. Magazines, what have you, and print publication,
well,
and web design too.
There's a groundswell coming up from the bottom, and it's just going to wash over everything. Here's an example. Quote, Paulo Freire. Remember there, Charlotte? I mentioned Paulo Freire earlier. Quote,
mm-hmm.
Education either functions as an instrument which is used to facilitate integration of the younger generation into the logic of the present system and bring about conformity, or it becomes the practice of freedom.
Mm.
The means by which men and women deal critically and creatively with reality and discover how to participate in the transformation of their world. Unquote. Constantine adds to that, I believe that education is the practice of freedom. The problem is that school is so often confused with education. School accomplishes the first part of the above quotation.
Mm-hmm.
It reinforces the present and preserves the status quo. School is almost propaganda for the status quo. Education and learning come from the truth around you. Empowerment comes from the self-discovery of that truth. We must all become self-learners and self-teachers with those around us. Learning liberates the spirit.
Yeah. Now, you know, I know you emphasize the internet quite a bit. And have you also given, some thought to cable television?
No.
Because cable television, I mean, you realize that, you know, I've got 700 channels. And they cover every possible human experience. And, you know, I think a kid or anybody can sit and watch the History Channel, the Discovery Channel, whatever. They're getting their science. They're getting their history.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, it's not complete and thorough. It's not structured, but it's there, and it's there just streaming endlessly.
It's a whole lot better than most of them get in school.
Yeah. You know, granted, I mean... If you watch the History Channel, you'd probably think like I do that Hitler was the dominant figure of the 20th century because he's always on. But
he had a little bit to do with it.
Well, yeah, I think if you had to pick a few people, he'd certainly be within the top five, you know.
But the other, you know, that's an interesting point you make there, Cult, because you'd also believe that Hitler was almost a self-ordained thing.
Oh, yeah. And oh, you would probably think the world's ending.
It could have gone either way as late as 1938.
Yeah, but, you know, but
it
now,
was,
of course, the world's ending in 2012. Nostradamus predicted it along with the Mayans and I don't know who else, but you know, I mean, there's craziness too on there, just like the internet.
Well, you know what? There's a just a wonderful movie. The Last Days of Sophie. I can't think of the last name. But essentially, it was her interrogation an eventual execution by...
I know it. That was the two students in Munchen?
Yes, it was a great movie.
I have seen it, yes.
Which was a great movie.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that film too, yes. So.
And but there was a scene in it where her Gestapo interrogator says, and it just moved me.
Hmm.
What other world could I have done what I'm doing now, where I'm a somebody, where what I do matters?
Hmm.
And that, you know, and there's just so many people go through the world, and what they do, it really doesn't matter.
Well, yeah.
I think that's okay.
Well, I know it's okay. It's
not okay.
Well, of course it's okay. I mean, if I decide to just live my life, you know, as I do now, which is a fairly peaceful, quiet existence, and it's going to hopefully stay that way to the end, that's my choice, you know.
Yeah, but that's...
I'm not picking up a rifle and going, Viva Revolucion, I am not doing this. You know?
You have done things in your life that have made a difference.
Well, yeah. Well, the opportunity to do that was there, but now it's not there.
You know, and the art and the drawing and memories from Crystal Beach.
Well, I have all that, and, you know, and here's the thing about memories. If you don't have someone to share them with, they kind of lose value. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they don't exist.
Yeah, because no one to talk to about.
People don't talk about something that's happened before now. It doesn't exist.
Yeah, well, no. So, you know, but, you know, you were saying, you know, there's only a very tiny, less than 1% of the population that, you know, accomplish these noteworthy things. You know, where we write their names in books and we learn about them and they've contributed on a broad scale to you know, society. But at the same time, I mean, you know, my mother raised 7 kids and 7, you know, she had her own impact on the world. And although it's never going to be written down or mentioned anywhere, it's still just as important to me as Karl Marx's Das Kapital, if in fact more so, because I don't, you know.
Yes, of course, but it's just been written down by you right now.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's been recorded. And my feeling is there, and it'll always be there.
It's
you know.
Affected me. It's affected Charlotte. It's affected who's ever going to listen to this stuff in the future. It's made a difference. Every kid I empower, even just a little bit. You know, when I let the kid do the backstroke down the desk in the front of my room, instead of making everybody, that's empowerment. It sometimes it's hard to take, but it is still empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I got to get going here because I had to shut off half the house in order to do the show. And so I got to give the rest of the family the other half of the house back.
Okay. Oh, that's right. You're off this week, aren't you?
Yes, I'm off this week. I'm in Big Bowie, and so even though I had some callers tonight, I'm going to go out with my German friend since we were talking about the Germans.
Oh, okay.
Why does no one call? Why can't somebody just give me a ring? The stupid telephone is silent like a stone, and I feel all alone.
Hey, Norm, I'll give you a call next week. Have a happy new year. Oh, we're back to the Italians now, huh?
Un certo Pasqualino pescatore.
Hey, 215, thanks for the call. I really appreciate it.
Oh, did he leave? Maybe.
I don't know. I'm still showing him on my switchboard.
Oh, okay, well.
Anyway, I'm hanging up, but I'll talk to you guys next week. Great to hear from you, Carl.
All right. I'll see you in 2011.
Good night.
Night.
Good night, 215.